Hey everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. How you doing, Mike?
Far so good. It's been one of those mornings, but we're getting through it.
So we've got a little bit of news for you today. We've got a best practice. Of course, we've got some stuff going on here at Blueberry. No interview today. And then a question of the week. So lots of stuff going on. Contrary to what was initially reported, the Breaker app, will not shut down. It's been bought by a company that's bought a couple other apps. So,
It was reported originally that Twitter bought Breaker. No, they bought the team.
Yeah, they did
it. And the app is going to Maple Media, which has Player FM and a few other apps in the App Store. So maybe it's a good fit for the Breaker functionality. I've used Breaker and I don't really understand what it does. So
I've never used the app, and some people say it has some social sharing stuff. I don't know, but the company that bought it now has three podcasting apps. So I see a trend there.
Yeah. Hey, good fit for them, I guess. Maybe they'll combine functionality and come out with a really good app.
Yeah. This week, though, there was an article about should podcasters be worried about censorship? And I think that we've talked about this topic on the show before. And, if we look at the history, if I go back and look at the 15 years we've been in business, I probably can count on one hand the number of show takedown requests that we received, and probably only half of those have been acted upon. Some rightfully so, because they violated our terms of service, and others, it was just someone's opinion. But I think for the most part, across the industry, podcasters probably shouldn't be worried about censorship. Each host has their own terms of service, and we're basically, if you threaten to kill somebody or you're doing hate speech, that's probably going to get you removed.
We're advocating something that is illegal, showing people how to steal stuff out of cars. I mean, come on, that's common sense. You don't.
But again,
as what you're talking about is legal, we don't care.
But again, even then, Mike, we will, if we get a report, if a show is ever reported to us, then we turn that over to legal, and legal makes a determination on that. It's not Todd or Mike or any of the team members.
Right.
Our legal
does.
Listen
to everybody's podcast. We couldn't possibly do that anyway.
And I'm not one that wants to make a legal decision on a show either. It's like, I'm not qualified to do that. So sometimes you hear it and you know it, but sometimes you hear it and you're like, is there a gray space there? But again, I think, I count on one hand in the 15 years in business where we've had to, number one, most of the times they're not hosting with us. They might be on our directory, or they might be using stats or something like that. And we have had one instance where someone was hosting with us, but it was very, very clear what was going on. But for the most part, 99.99% of shows.
Yeah, I can only remember one in the 11 years I've been here.
Yeah.
And it's very rare that.
Very rare.
That anything happens like that. Now, I've heard of shows maybe being delisted on a particular platform.
Right.
That's up to that platform.
And then that's up to those platforms, So as we see shows being removed from a particular platform on a regular basis, often not from anything that would be considered hate speech or anything like that. It's usually copyrighted music. And that's what gets shows in trouble the majority. So it's really not a censorship either. It's a violation of the terms of service of the syndicator. But again, we don't investigate until we get a report. We follow what's, you've heard this thing bantered around a lot over the last 6 months, the Section 230, we follow it, and we don't editorialize any of our podcasters' content, but we do respond to RIAA takedown requests. We do respond to some of that type of stuff. But again, it's usually music copyright issues.
Yeah.
I think the thing that most people don't know, Mike, is that you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, there's consequences.
Just be prepared, for the consequences. And each platform has to make that decision themselves. But again, don't worry about censorship in podcasting. I like to call podcasting the last bastion of free speech, because you control your brand, you control your voice, you control your show. And it's really a wonderful thing. But actions with companies do have consequences. You look what's going on with The Daily. The Daily has been taken off a Houston radio station over, and I have not been following this in per se, but it's something to do with the host and the show, The Caliphate. So I don't know what the controversy is.
Yeah, I don't quite remember what that was all about either, other than, he didn't disclose some connection with the show, or I don't really understand what the controversy was, but
I'm not
apparently
even
gonna... it was enough to get him pulled off a radio station.
Well, they took the Daily off, which is, and I think that's a bigger point. There was a ramification. I heard there's about a dozen more stations that are thinking about doing that action as well. So, but that's an NPR dealio.
New York Times.
Oh, New York Times. Sorry. So yeah. Thanks for correcting me. So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens there. But as a podcaster, just as a general reference, and maybe this should go under best practices versus talking about in the news section, but you can have an opinion. And there's one thing to say, I have an opinion about this, versus saying this person is this or
that's
that.
The difference. It's just like libeling somebody by saying they're something instead of saying my opinion is
my
that
opinion
they are
is.
Acting like
now,
this.
Now, that isn't necessarily going to completely protect you, but basically saying everyone has a right to have an opinion and express that opinion. But when you open yourself to danger, when you make a fact statement, when you say this is that, and if you're wrong and you've disparaged someone, then of course there's trouble. But again, that rarely comes up. I don't think we've had a few people submit show request takedowns for someone didn't like the interview.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, well, someone that was involved in the interview
decided later they didn't want it up. And we really have no ramification in that. It's up to the show host to work that out with the guest. We're not going to go take an episode down just because someone calls us and says, hey, we don't like this specific episode. Please remove it. So, you know, I think that's a big part of it. So what's going on with Edison Research? They got some more information out for us.
Yeah, they're saying since COVID, a lot of people are working from home and all that the most listened to day part in podcasting is the midday, you know, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. 34% of the downloads happen at that time.
Right.
Or, you know, at least in their survey. And they did a survey of however many they did, but it was cool. You know, it was interesting that, you know, most 60% of the listeners are listening from home, whereas I think in the past it's been, you know, closer to 30% at home and, you know, more 50% in the car or something. So that's changed a lot. But a plurality, 34%, are listening between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. I just thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. It's not a whole lot of information that, you know, that'll do you any good in there, but it is interesting to look at. And I have a link to the article over on Insider Radio.
But midday, it is interesting they say midday because I'm working and my head's down and I don't have time to. Podcasts often require active listening. It's not just like listening to a streaming radio.
Music,
yeah.
Whatever. Around here, you know, when I'm not on the phone with somebody, I'm listening to jazz music or something that doesn't have any words I got to think about.
That's right. That's right. Well, I got covered in Pod News today. I was the headline story.
Yeah, I saw that. Congratulations. You're hitting the big 1,500 episodes.
It's really, if you think about it, 1,500 episodes. I'm tired thinking about it, Mike. If I think about the hours of, you know, I have done that calculation and I'll probably give a rundown during my show tonight, but hours of prep, I don't do as much prep as I used to because I have someone that helps me with prep now. But hours of prep, hours of recording. I don't do a lot of post-editing, so there's not a lot of time there. But, you know, it all adds up over time. And then I look at my download numbers and multiply that out by hours of how many hours people have listened to the show. And it's really, really, really remarkable. And I didn't get 100 out a year. For a while I did. But, you know, I'm already 16 years in podcasting, so I should be at 1,600. But I think over 16 years, maintaining almost 100 a year and ending up at 1,500 at this point is pretty remarkable.
You know, you take off during CES most years and don't do any shows and vacations.
Yeah, and
I've, you know, God
I've,
knows what.
But. Yeah, and for the first 5 or 6 or 7 years, I never took a break. I mean, never. But now, and I tell podcasters the first couple of years, they probably shouldn't take a break just for consistency and building a show. But to each his own, and that's advice we give. It's not advice you have to take because there's no rules in podcasting. But for me, it was now I probably take, probably 2, 4, maybe 6 episodes off a year or maybe 8, but I do 2 a week. So in the scheme of things, that's, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks off a year. So I think it's pretty good.
You do 2-hour-ish plus shows a week. And you know, that's hard work. I'm trying to do 15 minutes or so twice a week on my show. And sometimes I don't get there.
You know, today after we wrap up, we're doing CES coverage for 2.5 hours. So I'm going to be on from 12 to 2:30 doing CES interviews. And I've done that this week, you know, so six interviews an hour. So, and of course, going to CES all those other years. So really, the number's not 1,500. It's 1,500 for Geek News Central. There's 400 and something for New Media Show. How many have we done here? We've done
226.
So there's 200 some there. And then there's literally several thousand interviews I did at events like CES and NAB over the past 15 years. So it's probably closer to 4,000, which
and all those CES ones.
Our video. Those are included, you know, so because I release them as podcast underneath my special feed. So I did like how he picked up a quote. He said, this is the quote he picked up from me. He says, "While I love doing my show for my family of listeners, I strongly believe the only way to stay abreast what is happening, the struggle podcasters face in building a show and keeping advertisers happy is by being in the trenches, creating content." So that's true, you know, and I think this is you podcast here at Blueberry. I do. Barry Kantz does, our CFO. Angelo used to podcast. He had a show they did. Jeff Hines used to have a show.
He still does. He's got another show too.
So he's publishing another one. Yep. So the company's made up of a family of podcasters, and not every podcast host has people that run the company and they're sitting up making decisions and helping to advance the podcasting space are in the trenches having to build a show and build audience. I have the same struggles on Geek News Central that everyone does, and I get no special privilege because of being one of the early podcasters. I still have, you know, people get sick and tired of listening to you and they leave.
They come back.
And then they come back and stuff. And, you know. So, you know, that's...
By the way, Sean and Dave both podcast as well.
That's right. Sean and Dave do too. So I'm sorry for leaving them out. So, you know, we've got a whole team of podcasters that know the struggle of that. And that's how we try to keep current as well. So anyway, yeah, if you want to tune in tonight at 7:30 Eastern thereabouts, I'll go live and do the... It should be a monster show. I'm going to do a review of the history of the show, then also do my regular podcast. So we'll do the regular tech news that night.
Be sure to catch that one tonight. Usually I don't catch you live, so we'll...
Should be fun. All right, so let's talk about a little bit of best practice. You know, and this kind of relates to the free speech thing. So why don't you hit it off, Mike?
We talk about this a lot, but I think now more than ever, it's important that you have a page for your podcast, a place where people can find you if you disappear somewhere. And that was my main motivation on this is people know that no matter what happens on Apple, Google, Stitcher, so on, Podcast Insider is going to be found at podcastinsider.com or blueberry.com.
Right.
And, you know, same with your show, you know, geeknewscentral.com. That's where you're going to be regardless of what happens on all these platforms. And that's pretty important these days where there's a lot of consternation, I guess would be the right word. You can sometimes be taken out for something that seemingly isn't.
But again, Mike, let's be clear here. That's like way, 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 way rare that a show gets removed.
Yeah, extremely rare. But, and, you know, it's just something.
It's another feature point of building your show on your.com. It's just another, you know, that there'll always be a place for your audience to come to. And I really kind of attribute that to more of the early days when we were having podcast hosting companies fail. I mean, they were like on a Wednesday, they were you know, shutting down on a Friday and people had their sites locked onto those sites and they were gone. They had an extinction event. They had no place to go. Whereas podcasters that had their own sites on their own .coms, it didn't matter what happened to their host. They could always pick a new host. Yeah, maybe there'd have been some
glitch in it. But,
well, there'd have been some challenges re-uploading media or whatever it may have been to try to stay online, you know, but you didn't have this extinction event of your podcast.
And that's less of a problem these days. For the most part, any of the names you're familiar with, they're not going anywhere, or at least not quickly.
Yep. So,
you know, you'll be good. But, you know, just having your own website for nothing else than to point people to wherever your show is good for Google, you know, good for search optimization. It's, you know, and it's kind of good for vanity.
Right.
Come on, really. You know, having a cool looking website for your show is a lot better than having the generic website from your web host.
Yeah. Well, it largely is. And, you know, podcasters that have their own sites are winning the Google Discovery War. And here's the thing. Listen, everyone. They don't know what they don't know because they don't know they're losing traffic. They don't know they're not getting traffic because the traffic doesn't come. So if you have your own website and you're writing good show notes, you're writing good episode titles, You know, you're doing just a minimal amount of, and it's, again, minimal amount of stuff to be able to please Google. Your content and your show, first of all, is easy to find. It's about finding those specific episodes. So, you know, we've talked a lot about owning your own podcast, but make sure you got something someone's going to search. You record for your audience, you write for Google so that they find. And if you're using PowerPress, you can have a separate title for your show on Apple Podcasts and all the other places, and a different title for your blog post. So, you know, that's another thing too. You can have separate titles. And I do this often. I'll write the title for the website, and then I'll write the title for what it's going to be on Apple Podcasts, because it's different. It has a different viewership.
Right. And, you know, on Apple, you know, specifically, if you put your show number in your title, they'll deal with it, but they don't like it. But so they have a special place you can put the show number and then the title without the show number. We do that with this one. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, you'll see that the number and then the title. And then if you listen pretty much anywhere else, you'll see the title with the number at the end.
Yeah. Mike, you got to see the first inklings of our new dashboard the other day, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. That looks like it's going to be pretty slick.
So
for sure.
So just so everyone that's listening, and at some point here within the next month, you're going to see what we call MVP 1. And that's basically minimal viable product release number 1. And it's just going to be the sidebar. It's not going to be any of the internal menus yet. So, you know, baby steps, sidebar first. And then little by little, you'll see the internal menus start to update. And those would be MV2, 3, 4, 5, to wherever we get when we get it completely done. And we'll let you know when we're completely done. But the dashboard is going to be taking some changes soon. We're really excited about this. Long time coming. And it'll give you an inkling, I've used that word twice, of what is to come for the rest of the dashboard. So I'm excited. Again, you're going to be like, this is the update? No. This is just the start for those of you that are customers. But you got a new voicemail option too, right, Mike?
Yeah, I was playing around with that other service that I was using, and for some reason we couldn't get it to format right or whatever. And then I realized our phone system right here at Blueberry has a click-to-call option. So I set up a special mailbox where you just click the button right there on the sidebar of podcastinsider.com. And you can record a question or feedback or whatever. We love the feedback regardless. You know, if you want to call us names, that's fine. We'll take it. You know, we may not play that on
right. So at least they can do it right from the website now.
Yeah, you do it right from the website up in the upper right corner. You can click on that, or you can always email an MP3 to Todd or I. And
it's just easier to click on the link and use a little widget on the website.
Yeah. It's just like talk, you know, as long as you can talk on Zoom, you can talk on this.
Right. So they did a little minor PowerPress update.
Yeah, we were having a little problem with sometimes shows becoming unlinked from the Blueberry account and a couple other little bug fixes. So update your PowerPress. 8.4.8 is the latest and greatest.
Awesome. So you've got a question of the week. What's the story there?
Yeah, this one is podcast platform specific. Amazon added their podcast to their music and Audible products, and you can submit your show over there. But I got a question, got a few of them, but I've submitted my podcast to Amazon 2 weeks ago and I haven't heard anything back from them. What gives? Unfortunately, Amazon doesn't really provide any notices or feedback to podcasters when you submit, or podcast companies for that matter.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd tell you.
Yeah.
But if you just give it a week or maybe a week and a half, then go search for your show. And the best place to search to start with is music.amazon.com. And you have to log in using an Amazon account, which is free. Yeah, and you can see if your show is included there. You know, and it takes a little while. And then after a while, you know, it'll filter into the rest of the Amazon system as far as searching, you know, like audible.amazon.com or...
You even find your listing if you're searching on Amazon.com.
Yeah, if you just search for products.
You search for a product, or if you're having trouble finding it, because it's kind of cool because you tell your family, I'm on Amazon. Yeah. Yeah, you can search for Amazon.com. The price is zero.
Yeah, darn it.
There was a little bug they had where it showed all podcasts at $9.99. They cleared it like almost immediately, but someone did a screen capture of it. But it is 0.00 is the price of podcast on Amazon.com. So you're going to have a music discussion on your podcast help desk this coming Saturday, right?
Yep. I'm going to talk about what music is legal and some of the challenges with music and podcasting. There are legal ways to do it, and there are illegal ways to do it. And the illegal ways can cost you a lot of money if you screw up. I mean, I remember back when we all started, we were playing AC/DC on podcasts. And, you know, those shows are gone because, you know, you don't want to get in any trouble.
Mike asks, our Blueberry resources stored on Amazon. We have some services on Amazon. Yes, we do.
Yeah, so, some of them are on Amazon and some are on
other platforms. And,
yeah.
So we have some redundancy outside of Amazon. Yes. Let's see. Are any other questions in any of the chat?
I'm looking at everybody listening and watching.
Yeah. So Mike, Dave, thanks. At least on the chat I'm looking at. Thanks for tuning in. And of course, always say hi if you're watching the live. But hey, we do this live, just so those of you that are listening know this. If you have time to join us for 30 minutes, we do this more often than not at 11 a.m. Eastern on Thursday. And then the actual show comes out Thursday afternoon after it gets done editing by our Blueberry Pro team at blueberrypro.com. But definitely, if you have feedback, if you have a question, click on the leave a comment on the sidebar of podcastinsider.com. Record your question and we may answer it on the show. Of course, you can always email myself, Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And that way you can send any concerns or questions you have to us that way. Or if you have a topic you want us to cover. Did we get through it all, Mike? We got everything?
I think so. And it seems today that the Coast Guard, it must be doing training because I've had several helicopters fly over while we were recording. Hopefully it didn't make it into the recording.
I didn't hear it on my side. So your compressor gate is working. So anyway, everyone, thanks for being here. And we'll see you next week on Podcast Sense. I think we're going to have a newsletter coming out. So keep an eye on that too. That's going to come sometime, I think, next week. I might be wrong, but anyway, keep an eye on your inbox as well. But that's it. So everyone, thanks for watching us here on Podcast Insider. Mike, thanks for co-hosting.
And everybody have a great week.
We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.